Broadcasting live from our Westlake studios, overlooking the great city of Austin and helping you maneuver through this modern dystopia, it's episode number 139 of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. Coming up this hour at 12:45, the Crap Bag welcomes Mark Henry to the show to talk Eyes of Texas. At 12:30, J.D. Lewis gets you ready for the weekend in fantasy football. And in mere minutes, UT President Greg Hartzell once again weighs in on the Eyes of Texas. Plus, Chad and I make some football picks for this weekend. I'm Trey Elling. Behind the glass today is a guy who always makes sure the horn section sounds good and the inventor of Am I the A-Hole, which he never is because he's the chillest dude in the room. It's Shoeless Sam Pika. What's up, Sam? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm excited for the music today.
Yes, we'll get to that in just a second, but I'm excited to hear what you are going to do with that as well. Sitting across from me is a Waxahachie native and level-headed Aggie who may speak your death into existence if he doesn't like you, Chad Hastings.
You damn right. Hope everybody's having a good Thursday. By the way, if you put Shoeless in his intro, it might mean he's going to continue to not wear the shoes. We need him to wear the shoes at work, and if you keep calling him Shoeless Sam Pika, he might think it's part of his thing and he's supposed to not wear shoes.
Well, you know what? I'm going to keep calling him Shoeless in honor of Shoeless Joe Jackson until he stops gambling that this show is going to be bad on days that he produces it.
Fair enough. Fair enough. That is absolutely fair. All right. Hope everybody's having a good Thursday. Let's clear up a couple things before we jump right in. First off, if you like listening on Thursdays at 12:30, because Brandon Lang is Brandon Lang, we agree. We love Brandon Lang. Brandon had a little bit of an accident. He is okay, but a minor injury has happened. He cannot do his radio hits across the country today, including ours. So we wish Brandon the best. Speedy recovery. I told his people to tell him to get some rest. And then I thought, well, Brandon can't do that, right? And I said, is he even able to, like, rest? And they said, nah, he's just got one speed. So hopefully that speed will enable him to get better. But hopefully we'll have Brandon next week.
Yeah, unfortunately with Brandon, you know that when he suffers an injury like this, he's not going to have a crazy story to tell us time we get to speak with him.
Yeah, right. It may have happened, maybe a KFC injury. He may have pulled something while getting, he's not got this KFC thing that he feels gets him luck. Eating the KFC right before he talks to us.
Yeah, we're pretty much guaranteed that Brandon Lang is not dealing with an issue as a result of like a simple sneeze.
No. This won't be a baseball injury.
Right.
Our guess is going to be this will have a story.
Yeah.
And it might involve a Vegas strip club. So we'll see.
That's so I'm going to apologize to you and to Sam and to the people, Chad. I've had a foot out the door all week long. Not only are both my feet out the door right now, but I think my entire body is. I may be holding on by a pinky at this point.
I was just about to ask you what degree of lean you feel like you're in right now because you look like you're in pretty good lean mode. You've asked Sam to provide us with nothing but Bob Marley music today. Like, you're really committing to this, which I appreciate. Because I'm all about, when it's last day of school, we know you can't focus. When it is, you know, when it's that last day and everything's done and all of the tests are taken, it's hard to focus in. So as long as you basically know my name halfway through, we'll be fine.
So I'm trying to help safeguard against this in a couple of different ways. One is asking Sam to play Bob Marley all day, which I'm excited to hear what he comes up with, because you know Sam won't just play the hits.
Yeah.
He's already trashed Three Little Birds, which made me want to attack him.
Yeah, I'd tell him what my favorite Bob Marley song is, but he'll probably make fun of it and never play it. So I'm just going to shut up and just move on.
But we've also bleeped the, you know, or we booked the you know what out of the show today. I bleeped myself unnecessarily there.
Unnecessary bleeping.
So we've got a ton of guests coming up, really good guests as well. And I think I've decided to just do this for the foreseeable future. I really am not drinking a whole lot of coffee anymore, but I've decided to make Thursdays overly caffeinated Thursdays for me going forward.
So what's that?
That's just water. Oh. I've already sucked the cold brew that I ordered from Houndstooth this morning down.
Oh, that's why I'm seeing way more of the whites of your eyes than I normally do.
Yeah, normally I'm afraid of eye contact. Now, you're going to get too much of it.
I'm getting way too much pupil right now. I really am. I'm seeing full pupil. I can literally see those pupils dilating.
But I have to admit, leaving the show yesterday, just the weight of this eyes story and our inability to escape it, it just has me at my wit's end. And I'm so glad that I'm going on vacation right now. Look, I am really looking forward to having this chat with Mark Henry. And we're going to talk about things here in a couple of minutes as well with regard to what Greg Hartzell.
You said both, and I'm not sure which one it is. Hang on. Hold on. It's Jay.
Okay, I'm sorry, Jay. I called you Greg in the intro.
I think
apologies.
Greg is a reliever for the Blue Jays.
All right.
I'm not sure.
Jay Hartzell had some things to say. We'll talk about that in just a couple of minutes. But this story is just, it's exhausting. And I'm sorry if that offends you that I'm calling it exhausting, but try talking about it for a living and not being able to escape the story, even when you tell yourself every day, we are not going to talk about this story today. Then you have something pop up like what happened yesterday with the UT band not having enough instrumentation to play the song this weekend, which now it's in question as to whether the band was even going to be in there and why the Daily Texan would phrase things as such. So I understand the need to talk about stories like this, and I think you and I have done a pretty good job of talking about it. Loved what the Triple Option guys did in their first segment yesterday and talking about that. I'm sure it continued throughout the entire show, but I got home after the first segment, so I didn't hear much after that. Right. So go back and listen to those shows yesterday and also listen right now because I think we have some good things to say about it too.
Yeah, I would tell everybody to do what I'm going to do today, which is go back and listen to their first segment. I didn't get to listen to them yesterday as I normally would because I was talking to Mark Henry. And Mark and I had a really interesting conversation, and I tried to listen to what he was saying, bringing a different angle on things and giving, you know, letting me know some of his concerns from his perspective. That's why I wanted to have Mark on. I'll gladly give him the crap bag time today because he's he has led a very interesting life, a truly unique life. And if you're a Longhorn fan, Mark went to Texas for a little while, but not like a 4-year situation, but he's Longhorn through and through. He was telling me yesterday he actually has a whole bunch of Aggies in his family. But he was always a Longhorn guy.
And he's a Silsby guy. And let's remember Patrick Hudson.
That's right.
A couple years ago, although things never played out well on the field for Patrick Hudson, he was a huge recruit who was initially committed to Baylor that Mark Henry helped convince to come to Texas. That was a big reason why Patrick Hudson ended up here.
Yeah, so Mark's coming up, and we'll get some of his thoughts on it. J.D. Lewis is going to fill in that the spot where normally Brandon Lang would be, also because J.D. needs to go earlier today. So we're going to go fantasy football today at 12:30. So if you're one of our fantasy football listeners that loves the J.D. segment, we hate to spring it on you, but it's going to be early this week. So 337-3776 if you want to throw us some fantasy questions. Of course, Trey is going to try to ask fantasy questions for the Galactic Hobos. What is it?
Tent City Hobos.
My bad.
Suffered our first loss this last week. Could have won, but decided to trust Philip Lindsay over Justin Jefferson. Stupid move by me. I asked JD about it last week. He gave me the correct answer. Even called into the Wagner Wire on Sunday and had Wags and Isaiah answer the question for me as well.
Yeah.
And I went against the advice of the experts. Enrolled with Philip Lindsay, who had an okay game. Would have won the game, though, with Justin Jefferson in there.
All right, so that's coming up at 12:30. Brian Jones at 1 from CBS Sports to talk football this week. That's CBS 2:30 is Bama and Tennessee. I'm not sure what kind of game it's going to be, but at least we get to look at Bama. We'll talk to Brian about that. And coming up at 1:30, very excited about this interview. We're going to talk to the director and producer of a movie called Hard Luck Love Song. It's about to come out at the Austin Film Festival. Go to austinfilmfestival.com to find out more. Trey and I have watched this movie, and if you're a fan of a good, grimy, dirty, wonderful movie with awesome music and just a lot of good, real stuff in it, that's what this movie is. Maybe.
Yeah, and
horrible definition.
It was created by a couple of Austinites, a couple of Austin natives, one of whom is going to be a familiar voice. If you've been listening to Bucky and Aaron for long enough, going back to a lot of our time at the Zone. Allison Smith is a former CBS Austin news anchor. She would join B&E, I want to say it was on Wednesdays back in the day.
Okay.
In the 9 o'clock hour, just talk about all sorts of stuff. She's a UT grad, so she loved to talk about UT sports and then just various current events and, you know, the fun that Bucky and Aaron typically have. I was producing the show at the time, so when their PR person reached out to me, and they've also reached out to the morning show guys about joining the show to talk about the movie this weekend, because this is one of the top films at the Austin Film Festival this weekend, I said, abso-freaking-lutely. On top of the fact that this movie already looked really cool for me, it stars Michael Dorman, who I am a huge fan of from the work he did on the Amazon Prime show Patriot.
I gotta check that out.
Then also a lot of other really cool actors and one actress whose work I respect and appreciate. So for her to be attached to this, to go along with her husband, and just the premise behind it, the fact that it's based on a Todd Snyder song, love Todd Snyder's storytelling, I was fully bought in. So we're looking forward to that conversation at 1:30.
Yeah, it's really good. Hard Luck Love Song. We definitely both recommend that. And check out AustinFilmFestival.com. So all that's coming up. Sam's producing, so we do have Am I the A-Hole at 1:45. A new edition of that, and so we got a lot to do. In fact, we got some picks to make as well. But Trey, let's jump right in and update everybody on the latest on the Eyes of Texas. So yesterday, during our show, it broke from the Daily Texan. The band took some kind of a questionnaire, had some kind of a questionnaire go through the band, and I'm sure there was a lot of different stuff in there. But one big issue was, are you cool playing the Eyes of Texas? And then the report was that they didn't have the necessary instrumentation, I think was the wording, to play the Eyes of Texas. So the announcement was, hey, band's not going to be there for the Baylor game, and band will not perform live until the Eyes of Texas issue is resolved. So last night, I guess, is when this came out from President Hartzell?
I believe so, yes.
To try to clarify things, President Hartzell releases this statement, quote, "The Eyes of Texas will be played this weekend as it has been throughout this season, and it will continue to be played at future games and events. While we would love the band to be with our fans at all our games, we never planned for them to perform live this Saturday. We knew this summer that as we make our campus more welcoming, a more welcoming place, we would face many hard conversations. I remain truly optimistic that we will find ways to join together around our song, which has been so positive for so many Longhorns over the past 120 years, end quote. So kind of a couple of, I guess, avenues coming out of that. The most, I guess, the top level would be that, as you would have imagined, it's going to be played this weekend. And the first question, you kind of already brought it up, but so did the band think they were going to perform at the Baylor game? Or was this just a confusing presentation maybe by the Daily Texan and somebody there just misinterpreted what they were hearing?
So here's the first two paragraphs of the Daily Texan story that we discussed on yesterday's show.
Okay.
The Longhorn Band will not participate in the Texas versus Baylor football game Saturday after an internal survey asked whether members would play the Eyes of Texas revealed a lack of necessary instrumentation, according to a message to band members obtained by the Daily Texan. Quote, based on survey responses, we do not have the necessary instrumentation, so we will not participate in Saturday's game, Longhorn Band Director Scott Hanna said in the message. So they were taking, I guess, verbatim what they were reading from Scott Hanna in the message that he sent to band members. Now, that turned out not to be true. The band was not scheduled to play. It honestly surprised both you and I that they were scheduled to play, that it was being reported that way, because as far as we knew, the band was still not cleared to be in the stands.
I thought that was a TFN, by the way. I thought it was going to be a till further notice. I've seen other bands around the country playing, but I thought this was like they were going to let us know at some point, but I didn't think it was going to be this weekend.
So just to add confusion to this subject that is otherwise so very clear.
Yeah, right, exactly. And I do feel, I feel for you, I feel for everybody I know that's a Longhorn fan, because this is a truly, it is a unique story. It is a strange story. It's not something you would have expected to happen. And I am hoping that when he says hard conversations, I'm hoping that President Hartzell is truly willing to have those conversations. And I guess the end of them will be January, whenever this committee reports back. But what I'm also wondering, Trey, is as the conversations happen, will Longhorn Nation as a whole get to be let in on the conversations? we can't all get together anywhere safely. I don't think they're going to gather on campus somewhere and invite everybody. So are there going to be Zoom calls, or are there going to be Facebook Live events, or like, how are you going to let the Longhorn community know what you're talking about?
I would assume that they're going to make those fairly public, because even if you don't want to, guess what? In this day and age, if you don't do it on your own, if you don't volunteer the entirety of a conversation, it's still going to be reported and probably out of context by somebody with an agenda.
And we just saw it, right? Nobody in the band could fill out the questionnaire and shut up.
Right.
No one could.
Right.
And I don't fault them for that. That's human nature nowadays. No, if they did a questionnaire around this building and asked a key question, everybody would not shut up. Somebody would tell somebody, and it would become gossip pretty fast.
And by the way, Jay Hartzell saying hard conversations, I assume that that means for the band, putting it this way, we respect your opinion on things, but if you can't play the school's alma mater, if you are refusing to do so, I'm sorry, but you can no longer be a part of this band. And it's interesting, Rod Babers brought some great points up yesterday, and I want to get to the solution that he proposed back in the summer that you and I talked about then, that I am still a full believer in helping to redefine the song The Eyes of Texas to get everybody back on the same page with this. I still believe it is the far and away the best idea that I've heard to try and reunite everybody with this. Mm-hmm. But he had mentioned yesterday not being able to cut members of the band for civil rights violations issues. There's not a civil rights violation issue here. It's a matter of a refusal to play one of the basic songs that you're responsible for as a member of this band. And if you can't do that, you're entitled to your opinion, but we are entitled as the UT band to say, well, we can't continue holding you when there's somebody else who might be able to step in who is willing to play that song.
And that's
the song that for 120 years now has been the opposite of racist.
And see, that's what's going to be an interesting discussion, and that's one of the reasons I think Mark Henry's comments are going to be, I think, on the other side of this. He heard us discussing that exact thing yesterday, and I think for him, that way of thinking and that line of questioning could lead to something that he finds troubling. So I think that's one reason he wanted to come on. We'll let him give his thoughts on it, because the argument then becomes, if you're going to make the argument, if you won't play a song, we're going to kick you out of the band, could you also end up making an argument, if you don't acknowledge a song, we don't want you on our football team, we're going to kick you off our football team or ask you to leave our football team? Like, is that really the road you want to go down?
It's always possible, but I think it's a little bit more cut and dry with the band. Now, the expectation for student athletes is that even if you don't want to take part in the song, you still need to be standing there with your teammates. And if you want to hold the horns up, great, but you need to show a level of respect for this university by at least being there and acknowledging that in some form or fashion. If you don't want to sing the song, you don't have to, but this is a song that, and this is one of my biggest points with this, Chad. The idea of canceling this song, it goes against what the supposed fight is for right now. I understand that we are trying to elicit change, true change, getting rid of statues of Confederate soldiers, which, in all honesty, most of those were put up in the 1960s as there was this large fight going on to improve civil rights issues. And it was a racist, bigoted, ignorant response to that. So a lot of those statues should go away. And maybe you put them in museums, or maybe you just melt them down and do something completely different with them. But for a song like The Eyes of Texas, it represents the exact opposite. It is a song that unifies and brings people together, and it's counterproductive to try and cancel things like that. That's my biggest issue with this right now. I know what that song means for an overwhelming majority of people who love this university. And to try and tear that away, what is your end goal here? Well, what is it that you're trying to do? Because you are acknowledging that the song is a very positive thing and the opposite of racist for everybody who stands up and sings it during football games, sporting events, graduations, weddings, funerals, birthdays, whatever else.
The question would be, I think, for President Hartzell and these folks that are saying they want to have hard conversations, are they willing to have the discussion that the song might be different to different people and it might feel different to different people? And do they want to respect those differences?
That's a great question.
That's going
to
be
And that's why tough. It's important to figure out how to move forward with this song. And that's where Rod Babers' idea, I think, is crucial, where you are not only putting up a
statue of
Julius Whittier.
Julius Whittier.
Mm-hmm.
But you perhaps name the student section after him, and you let these guys know, look, we totally respect what you're trying to do here. You respect what this song means to a lot of people. In an effort to come back together, how about we have everybody face the Whittier statue or the Whittier section where the students are, and you can represent the song in that fashion. I think it's a phenomenal idea. I wish, I'm sure they're probably going over all the possible scenarios right now. So Chris Del Conte and Hartzell and everybody else who makes the decisions over at UT. That needs to be near the top of the list in terms of viable options for going forward with this to try and reunite the student base, the athletes at UT, and those fans who do support you through thick and thin.
It's going to be an interesting conversation, hopefully an interesting conversation that people are willing to have.
Can I present one quick analogy?
Sure.
Before the commercial break, and I thought, gosh, I hate to think about this show when we're not actually on the air. I know that's an embarrassing thing to admit, but you hear me every day. You realize that I don't put a whole lot of thought into the show when I'm not speaking into the microphone, but I did give
leaning
a ton of thought
vacations
into this because it's just, it weighs so heavily on so many of us. And I understand those who are just resigned to maybe letting the song go as an easier path to redemption, so to speak, than to try and continue with this fight, because it does require a fight, and it's hard to have these sorts of discussions and fights and debates and whatever else with those that you consider to be family in some form or fashion. But at the same time, it's been really difficult for me to come up with a proper analogy that explains why it is, I don't want to say foolish because foolish is not the right word, but why it's difficult for those of us who are such big supporters of the Eyes of Texas to accept this idea that the song just needs to go away. And here's what I came up with yesterday. Pick out a friend. Think of a good friend of yours right now. You, Chad, you, Sam, you listening in the audience. Think about that friend, and then think about that friend's great, great grandparents. Do you think that that friend's great-great grandparents may have been less racially sensitive than what you and your friend are in 2020? What if you found out that that friend, his great-great grandparents were performers, musicians, or actors, and they actually, embarrassingly for your friend, performed in a minstrel show back during the turn of the last century? How much would you hold that against your friend and no longer want to be close in a loving, friendly relationship with that person as a result of something awful done by that person's great-great-grandparents? We as a people possess the ability to evolve, and not everything evolves for the better necessarily. Rod Babers brought it up on yesterday's show. The Nazi symbol actually used to be a positive symbol before Hitler and the Nazi party, the swastika, that I should say. The swastika used to be a positive symbol before Hitler and the Nazis took it and did what they did with it. But it's also very possible for things to evolve for the better. And I want you to think about this. If you are this opposed to the Eyes of Texas right now, of how productive it is to take away something that has the opposite effect of racism, which is what the Eyes of Texas has become in the last 100+ years.
We'll continue that conversation and others coming up. Fantasy football time with J.D. Lewis. He'll try to answer your questions, and of course he'll try to help fix Trey's fantasy football problems. 337-3776. Get us your questions right now. J.D.'s coming up on the Horn.
Jesus can get slow. Excuse me while I light my spliff. Oh God, I got to take a lift. From reality, I just can't.
Oh, we're going to warn you now. Sam Peek is going deep catalog Bob Marley today. Sam, what's this one?
This is Easy Skankin' by Bob Marley and the Wailers.
It's a great one, Sam.
Easy
I knew you
skankin'.
Wouldn't disappoint.
Fantastic. All right, we got a lot to do, so let's get right to it. Fantasy football, trying to help you, and of course, trying to help Trey. The Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. It's J.D. Lewis rearranging his schedule for us today. We appreciate it. J.D., how are you?
Doing great, guys. How are y'all?
Doing good, man. Doing good. We know you've got some other things on the mind today, so we're going to get the fantasy stuff out of the way, and then you can focus on things that really matter. But Trey is sweating like a pig over there because apparently everybody's on a bye week. So, Trey, what do you got?
Yeah, I've got way too many Ravens and Vikings members on my roster. So the question on who to start or who to sit is pretty cut and dry this week. My one question, though, for you, JD, has to do with Ryan Tannehill. My two quarterbacks are Tannehill, who goes up against Pittsburgh this week, and Jared Goff, who has a very awful matchup versus the Chicago Bears on Monday. I'm going to start Tannehill, but I'm just curious how confident you are in Ryan Tannehill keeping up some positive level of performance against a pretty good Steelers defense.
So I'm pretty confident. I will tell you I'm a lot more confident in him even against the Steelers than I am with Jared Goff. So I think Tannehill's the easy answer this week. I think the difficulty with Tannehill is when you look at his schedule over the next probably 6 or 7 weeks, it's pretty tough. I do believe that Titans offense, though, is a little bit matchup proof, even when they go up against the really tough defenses, just because with Derrick Henry and the running game, they will lull you, but then they've also shown the ability to spread it out, go 4 or 5 wide, and let Tannehill fling it around. And so I think they're going to have a hard time running the ball against Pittsburgh, even though the success of the passing game really is a little bit contingent upon the success of the running game. I think that they're going to have to pass in order to win this game. And so I like Tannehill this week, but obviously it is a very difficult matchup, especially with Taylor Lewan recently being announced that he's going to IR. I believe he tore his ACL, one of their best offensive linemen. The rest of their O-line is really good, but they lost an anchor, and that could have some serious impacts on them going forward.
Well, that's a great point. My only other question for you, I'm considering some running back trades right now, and I know it's going to cost me one of my good wide receivers. So would you mind ranking these four guys in terms of the ability to, or I guess I should say the lack of desire to get rid of them? DeAndre Hopkins, Stephon Diggs, Tyler Lockett, and Justin Jefferson.
I mean, at this point, you can't get rid of Diggs or Hopkins. Those two guys are both just absolute staples in their offense. Unless the only people that you can get in a trade to get value from, if nobody wants Lockett, nobody wants Jefferson for what they're giving up, if all of a sudden Diggs or Hopkins becomes the question, maybe you have to give it up, and then you have to weigh, is the guy that I'm getting an equivalent level of player to the production I'm losing from Diggs? If I were picking, right now, Lockett's probably is about as high of a value as he's going to get, because short of another 100-yard and 3-touchdown performance, I don't know that it goes up a whole lot. And on the downside, now with all the rumors floating around about Antonio Brown potentially being back in week 9, I believe that, by saying back, being eligible to be signed by a team and play in week 9 if a team so chooses. So I believe that that's probably one of the likeliest destinations for him to go. That's what the reports are all saying. Vegas has, I think the Packers are the only team that are, or maybe have better odds to potentially get Antonio Brown, but there's no other real reports floating out there that he might be the case. So that being the factor, I would say Lockett's probably the highest value and also the potential to have his value change the most. So he would be the guy I would want to get rid of. But I certainly wouldn't be afraid to get rid of Diggs, and you probably won't just get the value that you want for Jefferson, but if you could trade him and hold on to those other three, then power to you.
JD, my team is getting absolutely screwed by talented but troubled players signing with new teams right now. Le'Veon Bell is on the Chiefs, which diminishes Clyde Edwards-Helaire's value. Antonio Brown may end up with Seattle because of Tyler Lockett, like you just spelled out. It looks like Antonio Brown may end up on the Ravens, which decreases the value of both Mark Andrews and Hollywood Brown. At this point, I'm half expecting the Titans to sign Todd Marinovich going into this weekend's game and just announcing that they're starting him versus the Steelers.
Yeah, you might as well, right? I no problem with that. Look, Antonio Brown is a guy that I don't know. I mean, I guess he could be a league winner, but when you talk about him from a fantasy perspective, I think he's more of a disruptor than anything, because I don't believe that you'll really get anything out of Antonio Brown this season. Now, if you have a deep league and you've got a roster spot for him, okay, go for it. Grab him if you want to, but don't drop anybody. If you're really having to agonize over it, don't do it, because Antonio Brown, when you think about what he can do for you this year, okay, he reports he's eligible to play in week 9. What kind of shape is this guy in? He hadn't played a game in 2.5 years. I mean, what – I'm sure he could come in and be in good shape. He's a freak, but he's still a 31-year-old wide receiver that has been out of football for 2.5 years. So let's say in the best case scenario, it takes him 2 to 3 weeks to ramp up. So now you're going to start inserting Antonio Brown into your starting lineup right as you're getting into fantasy football playoffs. That's just not a guy that I can trust in that type of situation. So let somebody else use their waiver spot on him, pick him up, let somebody else burn their fab money, whatever it is. Don't be the guy that does that unless it's so cheap and you literally just have like a fourth defense you're carrying and you might as well.
JD, this listener wants to know, would you trade Ronald Jones for J.K. Dobbins in a keeper league?
Absolutely. Yes, no question about it. In a keeper league, I would do that. Ronald Jones is going to give you more value this year unless Mark Ingram and Gus Edwards probably get hurt, because even if one of those guys goes down, it just becomes a split situation, it appears. Now, coming out of the bye week, it might be different. So now's the time to buy low on J.K. Dobbins. But if you're trading for him, you're not expecting anything out of him this year. But the future could be really good. Ronald Jones looks fantastic, right? But I don't believe that they're fully committed to him, both not just this year, but also next. And he still has a potential for Fournette to come back and eat into his carries. So I'm totally good making that deal.
Speaking of running back trades, this person is asking if it's worth trying to buy low on Ezekiel Elliott.
That's a good question. That's actually a question I've been asking myself since their game Monday night. So, I think that it's probably worth buying it. It all just comes down to what the cost is. If you're in desperate need for a running back, you can go get him. But I wouldn't be willing to give up a whole lot for him. You know, maybe if you could package a Kareem Hunt kind of guy, someone who's got a ton of value now so you can get that out of him, but that when you look down the road may not have as much value once Chubb comes back. So there are certain trades out there, I think, that make sense where you have to package, you'd have to package Kareem Hunt with a Will Fuller or something like that in order to go get that type of running back. So, is it worth it? Yes, it's worth the gamble if you need to. But if you're 5-1, don't disrupt your team to just go try to get Zeke Elliott, just add to it. If you don't need to make that deal, I don't know that I would chase Zeke unless his price tag has just totally fallen through the floor with whoever owns them.
Talking fantasy football with J.D. Lewis. J.D., Rodgers or Mahomes?
Never not Mahomes. Right? It doesn't matter what the matchup is. It doesn't matter how good the team. I mean, for Mahomes, the only time he doesn't have a good game, it feels like to me, is when the game script is what dictates it. Like when against the Bills, that should have been a shootout. The fact that the Bills couldn't stop the run, wouldn't even try. Like they literally were giving up, were willing to give up 5 yards a carry every single time in order to not have the big play given up. So I thought that was a very conservatively called game, all based on the weather and the rain that was going on the entire game. And he still threw for 225 and two touchdowns. Like, that is the worst possible game he can have. The worst possible game Aaron Rodgers can have, you just saw it. 5 points.
Right. Okay. Two more here, JD, and we will let you go. This says 16-team, half PPR. I need two. Williams from the Chargers, Fournette, C. Davis, or K. Cole. Needs two of them.
It'd be probably Williams and Corey Davis. I'm assuming, yeah. I haven't actually seen them. I'm assuming Corey Davis is off the COVID list, feeling good, ready to go, and is going to be normal. So if that is the case, I would lean Corey Davis in a matchup where I think that the Steelers are going to focus on trying to stop A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry.
All right, and this one says Slayton or Higgins, Dalton or Wentz, PPR on both.
T. Higgins, and after what I saw from the Cowboys and the lack of their O-line, I just can't go with Andy Dalton. And I will tell you, the reason I don't like Darius Slayton this week is because he's going to get a shadow coverage from Darius Slay. How funny is that? Darius Slay covering Darius Slayton for
that is great.
Coverage for the entire game on a Thursday night.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell Andy Dalton's wife right now, my God, about her husband's the level of protection he will get on the field. My God. That's J.D. Lewis. Check out all the fantasy football stuff that you've got going on, and then ask J.D. You can always tweet him at J.D. Lewis FF. We had to do a little early this week, but don't worry, he's always there for you. Any hour of the day thinking about it, unless he's actually doing his real job, and then he'll get to you a little later. At JD Lewis FF. JD, best of luck with the real job today. We will talk to you next week, man.
All right, man. Sounds good. See you guys.
Good
later,
stuff.
JD.
See, JD's got real stuff going on and a real job, so sometimes we have to readjust. That's fine. that's fine because he's nice enough to come on here and spout great fantasy information that helps a lot of you out. So for all those injury questions coming in and all those things, and I think I've been a good student of JD's over the years, remember, Ben Roethlisberger on the road, JD's always concerned about. He likes Ben at home, doesn't like Ben on the road. The fantasy numbers tell you that Ben is not as good of a play on the road, and they are at Tennessee this week. Just something to mention. All right, coming up, we will line up a couple of my favorite guys. In fact, one of these guys had the other one believing I was a racist back in the day, but we've all grown since then. Brian Jones comes up at 105. Up next, it's Mark Henry, the world's strongest man, with a thought or two on the eyes of Texas. Don't move. It's the Horn.
Pretty poppy for you, Sam. I like it.
We've asked Sam Pika to play nothing but Bob Marley today. Remind me what this one's called.
This is called Waiting in Vain off Exodus.
Okay. See, I was going to get the name of it wrong. I was going to say Waiting for Your Love. It's Waiting in Vain.
God, Bob Marley is so incredible.
It is so great.
Wait until I'm just rocking in a hammock, jamming this song and so many other good Bob Marley tunes.
The only thing better than Bob Marley, to me, is the one time I got to go to Jamaica, witnessing how much he means to them. It's bizarre. You'd think maybe they get tired of it. You'd think maybe they don't embrace it and hug on it. And they would tell you, oh, no, it's so artificial. But no, they love him. They love him 10 times more than anyone you know loves him. That's what's great about Jamaica.
It's Bob Marley, Usain Bolt, those cool running sled guys.
They do love Bolt. Yeah, you got to love them. You got to love him, too. All right.
The ganja.
So it will be Bob Marley for the rest of the day today since Trey is off to a beach wedding in the next couple days. So he's trying to get himself in the mood. Nothing wrong with that. All right, let's jump on into the crab bag. I'm going to give up my time today. Here we go.
Chad's crab bag.
Crab bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
Really, it's brought to you by AV Consultations. Tom McKay and the crew there. 255-8678, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. I had a fantastic conversation yesterday with one of my favorite listeners of ours, but also one of my favorite pro wrestlers of all time, the world's strongest man, Mark Henry. And I told him we should call him back and let him talk a little more today because I wanted to get some more of his thoughts. We kind of had to cut him off because it was the very end of the show. So we do apologize for that. Let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. It is Mark Henry. Mr. Henry, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. I'm going to tell you something just to start off.
Yeah.
If there was a time capsule to the future and you wanted to say representation of reggae, you would have to play No Woman, No Cry.
Well, I was about to ask you your favorite Bob Marley song, Mark. It sounds like you just answered it.
Listen, man, that song describes a lot in life, and it also gives you the entry point to what is reggae. I mean, Bob Marley, there's nothing close. And you said that Bob Marley and his son Bolt is not even close to Bob Marley.
No, you're right about that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely
not. And the Cool Runnings team comes a distant third to both of those guys.
Yeah, there's no way they don't like the bobsledders near as much as they like Marley. There's no way.
I would put jerk chicken above.
That is awesome. Okay, so I just learned that Mark Henry and I have the same favorite Bob Marley song, because that's my favorite Marley song, too. That's excellent. No Woman, No Cry would be nice today. I know it's popular, Sam, but it would be a nice play.
There's so many that fall into that category.
I know.
What Mark was just talking
is
about.
This Love.
Exodus, This
is
Love.
Is This Love, Buffalo Soldier.
One Love, Buffalo Soldier, my favorite, Three Little Birds. I mean, it's hit after hit, man.
Yeah.
Even some of the non-hits, quote-unquote, like Concrete Jungle and Dembele Full. Like, there are just so many great songs in that catalog.
I think in the time that we're living in right now, Get Up, Stand Up fits.
Yeah.
100%.
Great song. Great song. All right, Mark, I want to get some of your thoughts on this. So since you and I spoke, the president at UT wanted to clarify something about the Eyes of Texas. He says it will be played this weekend. It will also be played at future games and events. And he says they didn't plan for the band to be performing this weekend. So it sounds like there are still conversations to be had with the university and the band and kind of trying to figure all of that out. I know you were listening to us yesterday, and we threw out the idea of, and so a lot of people have said this, but the idea that the band might say to its members, if you won't play this song, you just can't be a member of the band. And from what you told me yesterday, you were a little troubled by that idea. Tell me why.
I was troubled by it because it's very dismissive of people's feelings and the rights. You train your whole life to be in a band. You want to go to a big-time college to perform it and get on the stage where it matters. And because you have a difference of opinion, a different belief in a song, now you want to say, well, that's the sole reason that you're here. You know, if you don't abide by that, then you got to go. That's just not fair.
Well, it is one of the basic responsibilities of being in the Texas band, though, Mark. And you are certainly inclined to have your opinion about things, but the people who run the Texas band have the right to say, well, if you can't play one of the two or three songs that you absolutely have to know and be able to play to be a part of this university's band, then I'm sorry, you're going to have to find a band elsewhere.
Well, so is playing quarterback and throwing touchdowns and not throwing interceptions. Nobody's kicking Sam Ehlinger out.
Yeah, but yeah. I think that there is a difference in those two things because there is a conscious decision. There is a conscious decision being made versus a mistake being made by Ehlinger throwing incomplete passes or interceptions.
Well, there's a mistake being made that there was not a conversation about changing the lyrics and changing the song at the beginning of the season or before the season when you knew that that was a point of contention. They knew that that was going to be a problem. They just thought it would blow over. And that's not the way it works. You have guys that I know for a fact that I've had conversations with that played at University of Texas, old and new players, that had no clue about the indentation of what happened with the song, where it came from, the history of it. And for them to find out about it was just like the conversation that I had with you guys yesterday. In 91, I found out about the third stanza in the national anthem. And not just me, but a bunch of Olympic athletes. And
that's as you're about to represent the United States at the Olympics.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to stand in front of America and the world representing the country. And I find out that in the third stanza, it referred to black people and slaves as cowards and as the help, basically.
Right.
And that we should do what we're told and not aspire to anything other than that.
Well, so the difference in those two examples, though, Mark, is that the violation was more egregious with the third stanza of that song versus the Eyes of Texas, that I think everybody agrees not only does not have any racially insensitive lyrics, but the song itself, as it's performed by people, and this has been the case for all of our lifetimes, has meant the exact opposite of racism. So the question that I posited to people in the first segment of today's show was to think about a good friend of yours and think about the possibility that that person's great-great-grandparents may have been significantly less sensitive to race. And you could even say they were racist. Or maybe you find out that that person's great-great-grandparents were musicians or actors, and they had performed in a minstrel show in the late 1800s or early 1900s. How much of that would you hold against your friend, or do you trust the ability for people to sometimes evolve in positive ways? It certainly doesn't always happen in terms of evolution being a positive thing. Sometimes it is a negative. But in this particular situation, would you no longer want to be friends with that person if you found out that their great-great-grandparents were in a minstrel show 120 years ago?
Not in the least little bit. Only the thing that I would say was, if I was trying to change the song and I was trying to make it more positive for us and not a them or they, then I would hope that my friend would say, yeah, man, this is a different time. That don't fly. And they would back me. That's what's not happening in America. Mm-hmm. Everybody is misinformed because these conversations have never been had. Right now, I'm on the advisory board for a textbook that's out now, and I'm gonna see if I can get you guys a copy. But that's what the textbook is: American history as opposed to what world history is. It's so contradictory because of how we tried to hide racism.
So, Mark, real quick then, on both sides of this issue, would you say that the people that want, do you think both sides could agree on a song called The Eyes of Texas, but it just needs to be tweaked? It just needs to have some different lyrics to it? Do you think that would be acceptable? Eyes of Texas, same tune, change the words? Could we be headed there?
But see, that's what you call compromise. Right now, there's no compromise.
Okay.
Like, you know, so you saying, would there, even if it's called The Eyes of Texas, if it says The Eyes of Texas, and then it goes into talking about us and we and us being together for the love of the University of Texas.
Right.
Fine. But musically, that's the song came from an old Negro spiritual. And the depiction of the black people in this play,
what was the old Negro spiritual?
I can't remember the name of the song right off the top of my head.
You're talking about I've Been Working on the Railroad, going back to the old Negro spiritual.
Yeah. And those were songs that were sang in the slave fields that was taken and made light of. And anytime that you belittle or take lightly of something that's as serious as that, and I use the reference, I work with mentally challenged kids. If somebody 200 years ago, 300 years ago, made a song about mentally handicapped kids, jokingly and trying to poke fun at, I would be very aggravated if I found out that's where it derived from. And I would demand that it be changed. And I would fight it tooth and nail. And I would hope that every friend of mine that I've ever been involved with that had a kid that was mentally handicapped would be standing by my side. So that's not what we're getting with race.
So you say that the lyrics are not racist, but you want to change certain lyrics in this song. What lyrics do you want to change again?
That's not up to me. I went to UT for one semester.
No, it absolutely. Yeah. Honestly, we're having a conversation here, and I went to UT for a few more semesters than that, but I never got my degree either. But we are people who love this university through thick and thin, and we are actually trying to do something that very few are right now, and that's have a conversation. So I really am curious to know what changes folks want to make out there, because I think if the change is to remove The Eyes of Texas Are Upon You because it is a one or two off of something that Robert E. Lee had said back in the mid to late 1800s to Civil War troops and then to students at the college that he was president of, Lee University or Washington University back then, it's now Washington and Lee, then that's a difficult one. At that point, I think you are pushing it in the direction of eliminating the song altogether.
Well, first of all, I'm not pushing anything. I feel like that is something that should be done collectively. Like, it's a sensitivity thing. And that's the thing with America, is black people have historically always been sensitive because you're forced, first of all, to be sensitive. And then second of all, the university, the players that stand with that banner, the students, the faculty. Dr. Terry Todd, who was the kinesiology professor for years and years at the University of Texas, was like my father. And the first thing that he told me when I came to Austin is you need to go and find the powers that be in the black community and become active and be an activist and to help out. because I've seen things that I don't like, and I want you to be a part of the change. So that's how I was reared, to try to help and change. The also, Terry, a lot of people don't know that Terry Tye, when he was a professor at Mercer College in Georgia, and he was one of the people that walked with at the integration of schools with the little black girls that went to the school. There's a lot of powerful allies that I feel like are not represented in stuff like this. I guarantee you, if Terry was alive and this was going on, he would be one of the people, at one of the faculty members at the University of Texas that would be telling the AD, the head coach, and everybody else that'll listen, hey, this is not right.
Yeah. Hey, Mark, we got to run, man. But you know I love that you're keeping this conversation going. Keep it going, because we need this to be talked about, and we don't need it to be ignored. So,
and Mark, yeah. I'm gonna be in the middle of a beach vacation tomorrow through Tuesday. I'm gonna be listening to a lot of Bob Marley and maybe indulging in a little bit of that ganja as well. But I really would like to continue this conversation on the air once I get back, because I think that you and I are two people that can have a civil conversation, and not all conversations are 100% agreeable about this, to come
but
to
they
some
can be civil.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And you and I have just proven that over these last couple of minutes. I feel like we can continue this conversation and get closer to some sort of compromise with regards to what's happening right now.
Absolutely. Mark, have a good day, man.
Enjoy your trip and vacation, and just let you know I'm hating on you. I'm jealous.
There you go. We all are.
Thanks,
we all
Mark.
Are. Thank you, Mark. That's Mark Henry, world's strongest man,
love
with some thoughts
dude.
On the eyes of Texas. Up next, Brian Jones of CBS Sports, maybe with some thoughts there, but we'll also talk college football with him. Texas trying to get things righted against Baylor, Alabama, Tennessee, and how about Iowa State and Oklahoma State? We'll hit all of them coming up on the Horn.